Welcome to Popular Cultural Sharing. My name is Lawin and I am your host. In this podcast, we give you an outsider's perspective about European life, culture, and pretty much anything that is connected to this continent. So get ready to learn something new in a light and entertaining way. Thank you so much for joining us today. So Monica, I met her just through Instagram. She was on another show about being a global citizen. And actually, she's so much so a global citizen because she grew up in the Philippines and in India and is now in the UK. So I wanted to really understand, you know, the complexities of life, being on the move, like moving as a young person, growing up in a different place, having different social circles, meeting new people, adapting to different cultures. So, Monica, thank you for joining us today.
Hello, thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
When we first spoke, we were talking a bit about, you know, our experience in the Philippines. Obviously, you lived there for a couple of years. And I just find it fascinating that, you know, you being Indian, like pure Indian, that you spent some time in the Philippines, you moved back to India. Of course, you didn't really fully integrate in the Philippines because you moved out at such a young age. But I'm sure you understand the people a lot better than an outsider would. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about your journey or your childhood.
I think that's why we connect so much. We both are from the Philippines. So we have a common bond in there. It's been a very interesting journey of my life so far. And I always tell people I've kind of lived three lives. I was in Philippines till I was around 8-9 years old. And due to family circumstances then, I moved to India and I spent the remaining of my childhood, my teenage years, everything in India. And then 10 years back, I got married and moved to UK. Yeah, it's been a beautiful journey. It's very different though when you relocate as a child and when you relocate as an adult. It's very different. People underestimate children a lot, I think. They feel that it's tougher for children to move. But actually, for me, it's the other way around. I think as a child, you're kind of like a clay where you mold very easily. And you have the support of your parents as well around you. So it makes the process much smoother. But as an adult, you have all the responsibility. So, and you're usually more accustomed to working in a particular way. Your thinking becomes more rigid. You're not very open to accepting situations that easily. So I think as an adult, it became much more difficult only because of that.
I found it funny that you said you lived three lives because you're Indian and it's common to believe in like reincarnation, right? So it's kind of interesting that you said you lived three lives. So I wouldn't have imagined how my life would have been if I had to move at a very young age to another country that, you know, speaks a different language, that has a very distinct culture. And leaving your friends behind because you're just starting to make friends at 8 years old.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, and it's not like your memory is quite short. 8 years old, you do remember quite a lot. So, yes, I did have my close friends and I was sad to leave behind. But everywhere I've been, I've made new friends. So it's just part of life, I guess. Yeah. You do miss them, but you make friends very easily when you're a child.
That's what I wanted to talk about today is a little bit about how you were able to do this, how you're able to adapt to a new environment right away, how you're able to rebuild your social life. Obviously, at 9 years old or 8 years old, when you move back to India, you don't think of this. You're not thinking that, hey, I need to rebuild my social life. Obviously, you don't care about this stuff. And it just comes naturally, right?
You know, interesting what you mentioned earlier as well, like since I was born in the Philippines and I lived there, a part of me did feel like a Filipino. So although I knew I was Indian, a part of me still felt like I'm a Filipino. So that made it easier for me to just get used to everyone and accept everything. And when I moved to India, like I said, for a child, the parent support system is very, very important. And for me, my parents made it super easy to accept a new country. I think the other good thing is India was very similar to Philippines. From a people perspective, they both are quite warm, quite welcoming. So that made it very easy for me as well. But yeah, it's different. There was a major difference then as well between India and Philippines. Like, for example, my My parents would, before moving to India, would explain me how India actually is and made it sound more like a fantasy. You know, so that kind of made me very excited to move to a new country. And let me give you a very interesting fact. So in India, I believe you have been to India, right?
Yes.
And you've noticed. Yeah. So it's a country which actually believes a lot in cows. So over there on the street, you will see cows walking around. Right. So that is something which was quite strange to me, but it was a very interesting fact. So like, ooh, animals are moving around on the street. So they made it look like you're living in a zoo. So, you know, small things like that, which could be difficult. They just made it sound fascinating.
So I've been to India and I've actually seen it. And if you would have told me that, oh, you'll actually see people riding elephants on the street where cars are passing by, I wouldn't believe you. But since I've been to India, I've seen it in real life. And I was really like shocked when I saw you're stuck in traffic. It's a red light. You look beside you and you see a guy riding an elephant. Like, how is this even possible? Why is there an elephant on the street? And it's not like I was in the middle of the countryside. It was like a city, maybe not the biggest city in India, but I think it's a proper city. And you see people riding camels in the same street where the elephant is. And then you see like cows crossing in the city. And I'm like, is this for real? This is a fantasy world. But at the same time, it makes it just so interesting and so beautiful to be able to see this. Because in Manila, you'll probably see some street dogs. That's the only like wildlife you'll see in Manila. Maybe some cats once in a while, but that's about it. Maybe a big rat. You'll see a big rat. Won't be the size of an elephant.
I don't see that.
Won't be the size of an elephant or a cow, but they're pretty big.
Correct, yeah. So you see, that just that's why as a child it's much easier. But again, as a teenager would be a bit more difficult, I believe, because then you really have your good friends around you. You want social media. You want all that. So that would be slightly different than as a teenager.
Obviously, this is without social media and everything. Are you still able to kind of keep in touch with the friends that you made during that time? Or
I could not, no. And I would say, I think I got in touch with them after 10 years.
Oh.
Which is thanks to social media then, it started coming up. So I did reconnect actually with a couple of them, which was nice. But it's different because 10 years is a really, really long time. And there is that small gap, but it was really nice to just see how they've grown and speak to them and just reconnect again. It was beautiful. It's like a dream come true.
Obviously, social media, at least in the past couple of years, have been like tagged with like very negative images of like spreading fake news and doing whatever. But obviously, there is a very positive aspect of social media. And that's, you know, at the core of it, it's about connecting. And obviously, you can connect with old friends. And I think that's really something that's beautiful. So I'm happy that you're able to reconnect with your friends in the Philippines. I find it quite easy to get along with other Indian people. I think like social aspect of things, people are a bit similar in that sense. But since I've been to India, I noticed that there's a lot of differences besides like the animals being in the city. But you have like the food culture is very different. What you actually eat is different. And the ingredients you use are totally different. Do you think there are other like stark differences between the two cultures?
Food, you mentioned it right, is the major, major difference. Yeah, I wouldn't swap anything for that.
Ooh, okay. That Indian food is hard to beat, to be honest.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So food is the main thing. And number of festivals, I think that as well beats everything because it's like every month you have something to look forward to.
Right. I'm just trying to think. We don't have that many festivals, at least in Manila. There are several like regional festivals that you'd need to travel to another island to kind of experience.
I wish I could retain Tagalog.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't have anyone to speak to, I just completely forgot. So that's another thing. Probably the age of 8 as well, you can forget a language.
So did you learn, you know, how to write like in Sanskrit and to speak Hindi while you were in the Philippines? Or did you have to learn that all when you moved to India, actually?
No, that's another good point as well, which I appreciate my parents did for me, is I learned Hindi 3 months at least before moving to India, reading and writing. And that was a big, big plus point for me. Because when I went to India and started my new school, it just made it easier for me to blend in and to learn because that is an integral part of their curriculum. So it made it much more easier for me to read and write over there. I think that's important for anyone moving to any new country, is trying to learn the language.
So you're telling me in 3 months I can learn Hindi?
Well, I could as a child.
Oh, right. Sure.
Yeah. Now you tell me to learn a new language, I'm like, I can't do it anymore.
That's 3 years probably in our age right now. Not 3 months.
No,
seriously,
correct.
You learned also how to like read and write. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I've been in Germany for 2 years. I haven't even like properly learned how to speak the language. I mean, it's not bad, but like...
I think I was a very bright student.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
When you moved to India, was the curriculum all in Hindi or it was mainly in English?
No, it was all in English.
Ah,
but
okay.
You still have one subject as a local language.
Is it like that normally in India, or that would depend on the school that you attend?
Depend on the school. Yeah.
Oh,
you do have the Hindi medium school as well, but most of them, like most of the people you meet, they would have it in English, yeah.
So you kind of live, you know, adolescent life in India, and at some point of time, you kind of move to the UK. So tell me about this transition, because this is the next life that you lived.
I was going to my total life. It was unplanned. It's not something what I planned. I wouldn't have thought of moving again, because I knew how it meant to move to a new country. So I met my husband, and in India... Well, actually, he moved abroad first, and then I followed him in 2 years. So coming to England, yes, it was a major transition again. And it wasn't this time as smooth as India. Maybe because it was my first time seeing this place, and I didn't know the reality of it. Like, for India, it was easier because there was a background. Like, my parents painted a picture of it, so I kind of knew what to expect. But for England, I did not know much what to expect. It was very different from the lifestyle to the places, was all completely alien to me.
That meant, obviously, again, restarting your social life. I'm assuming you had built some you know, good relationships with new friends in India.
Well, yeah. And that was, like I said, because you've had friends from your school, through your college, and I was working there as well, so I made some working friends. So I had my social circle in India well developed. And when I moved here, I was like zero friends. I didn't know anyone, which is the two of us. So it was extremely difficult.
Would you hang out with your friends or your girlfriends when you meet up? What's the typical thing that you would do? Just to give me paint a picture, yeah.
In India, people are friendly. So it's just so easy to make friends. Like, I guess if I'm working as well, the working hours over there are quite long, but in between that, you're still chatting with your colleagues, you're just spending time with them, and after work, you would go out for a cup of coffee. People love tea and coffee over there, so we're all the time in a coffee shop, and maybe in the weekends, we'll kind of plan going for a movie, going for lunch or dinner, so your social life is just on all the time, and you make friends so quickly. So if you start a new job, they'll be like, oh, you're new, come, let's go out, let's get to know each other. They're so fast.
Is that kind of how you met your husband?
Yeah, in a way, but no, it wasn't that fast.
So yeah, so you sacrifice kind of this life, this, you know, this comfortable social circle that you've built up for yourself in India, and you come to the UK. Obviously, the UK is a very different country. Probably the difference between Philippines and India, the difference would be bigger between India and the UK.
I think Philippines and India are kind of on a similar level now, you know, so there isn't that big gap as what it was then. So yeah, UK can compare it to both the countries equally. Major, major difference, I must say, in Asia, we are very pampered. We have like everything done for us. We don't do anything. You see?
That's true. You get lazy there.
You get really lazy. So that is one thing I took for granted.
You know, when I tell people that, you know, I grew up with like a helper in our house.
Yeah, they don't believe it.
They don't believe it. Like, oh, so you're super rich. And I'm like, not really. Like, even just like an average person could afford at least one kind of helper. It's just how it is.
You're right. That's the same reaction I got. They were like, my God, how rich you are. I'm like, it's not that. It's everyone over there does have a helper. So yeah, I would say I really miss my helper a lot.
Yeah, I was the same when I moved here. I guess you learn, you know, a lot about independence and how to do things on your own. Also how to
you do. And I think independence is one thing I wish I would have learned much more early in life.
But that's hard when you have a helper doing everything for you.
Yeah, but I guess it's just not about housework. Well, when you spend more time with people here, you understand it. Like, they have been brought up with independence since a very young age. You know, they are given that authority to make their own choices in life. And for us, or at least in the Indian culture, it's quite dependent on the parents. Parents are mostly deciding things for you, thinking for your own benefit, but that's what they do. And over here, it's like from a young age, you can decide things for yourself. So it's just so much to learn from that perspective.
You know, when I hear about, you know, 19-year-olds moving out of their parents' house,
owning their own house,
making their own decisions, I'm like, seriously? I couldn't imagine myself doing that. I was so immature at that point of time in my life.
It's, I guess, because we were not given the authority to make decisions. So we doubt our big decision.
That's true. In India, is there a point in time wherein your parents kind of loosen their influence on your life?
From a culture point of view, it's very different.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, till they grow old, you're meant to respect them quite a lot. You're meant to look after them all the time. I would say once you start working, that's when they'll probably be like, okay, you're grown up now because you've started working. You can make your own decisions. Well, I guess time is changing now. So now when I look at people, it's very different to when I was there, and it's moved very quickly. So for me, at that moment of time, I guess parents still have influence on you even after working, even after you're married or have kids, that type of thing. But now the generation has changed a little bit. So now people move out of the house, like maybe for studies, for college. So they start making their own decisions quite quickly now. So things are changing a little bit. But yes, parents still do have a lot of influence on the kid.
If the kid moves abroad, does the influence become less or more?
It has to become less because they don't know what the kid is doing.
Would they want to like keep more tabs on you because you've now moved abroad?
Yeah, I guess it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. It's like, how many times would you call up?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. If you live with your parents, they're not going to call you up every 10 minutes. But if you live abroad, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it is different when they move abroad. When they move abroad, it's like us then. Because like we have moved abroad now, we have no choice but to be independent.
So what was your experience like now that, you know, you have moved to the UK, now that you're restarting your social life? How did that come together? Have you been able to make it as successful as it was when you moved from Philippines to India?
Yeah, I think I've made it successful. So I'm quite happy with that. It took a long time. It really did, because there were a lot of like bumps on the road, I would say. So when I came here, although I've always spoken English, I still felt like, because I had the barrier of accent, it took me a long time to adjust to the country and to meet new people and to feel confident again. So I think for me, honestly, it took me 2 years. So it did take me quite a while then of, you know, building the confidence of socializing again, being out there, understanding people. And you can have a conversation only when you both understand each other. If it doesn't, you know, you can't use really sign language in this. Yeah, so I started going out, meeting people. And I think my workplace was where it really helped, because I started speaking to colleagues and that made me understand their culture, understand how they actually are, which is quite different to where I've come from. The way we think, we're human beings at the end of the day, but just the way we are brought up, the way our mindset is kind of different. So it's kind of finding that middle ground and moving through there.
Would you say that when you came to the UK, the first kind of source of friends that you had was your office?
No. The first source of friends were, because my husband had come in before me, It was his friends who kind of became my friends.
Are they mostly Indian or...?
Yeah, no, they are mostly Indians.
Okay.
And because, well, for him, in his team, they were mostly Indians. So that's who he kind of had as his first friend. So they became my friends. That kind of put me in my comfort zone, because coming from India, I was like, oh, you're Indian as well. So, you know, made it easy for me to interact. But I felt that was not helping me. That was not helping me in really feeling comfortable in the country. And that's the reason why socializing with my colleagues made it much more comfortable, because once I felt I could integrate with them, made me feel I could integrate with the country.
Because I live in a city in Germany that has a lot of Indian students, because it is like a technical university city. And I heard from a friend of mine that there's a lot of Indian students that come in. Obviously, India is such a big country, right? So there are different parts of India and probably different languages. I don't know how many languages you have, probably
there's
hundreds.
So many.
Too many.
More
than that. Okay.
Yeah.
But I heard some students even kind of group themselves by which province they come from.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about, you know, people moving abroad and just kind of sticking to their comfort zone?
It is their comfort zone. And I can imagine why, because initially when you do come and you feel a bit lost and you don't know how to navigate through in the country. What do you like? You can easily feel lost. I would say, I guess if my husband wasn't around, I wouldn't know what to do. That's how I felt initially. So it's easy to just find the same people. You'll have the common thing and you kind of feel more empowered from within. But that doesn't broaden your horizon. What if you start working? You can't be only with Indians then. You have to interact with people from different parts of the world. So that's how learning is, isn't it? Coming out of your comfort zone.
But you know what makes it a bit even harder for you is that the UK is one of those places wherein there's a lot of Indian people. And I think that has a lot to do with history. And obviously, a lot of Indian people speak English. So it's like an easy place to go. At the same time, you have tons of like good Indian food. At least in London, when I was there, there's a lot of like good Indian food. So it's I think it's quite harder for you to move away from your comfort zone, isn't it?
You know how I said when I was in the Philippines, I felt like a Filipino.
Yeah.
So Indians who have been born and brought up here, they feel British. Yeah. So it's still not the same. There is a slight difference. They do feel Indian, but a part of them does feel British as well. So you have options, but not that many as much as it would sound.
Okay. So you've lived three lives. But how do you actually categorize yourself now? Do you feel more, do you still feel Indian? Do you still feel like you're a hint Filipino, or are you just like a mixture of everything?
I would say I would love to be called a mixture of everything. Yes, although I'm British now, but from inside, there is a part of me which is still Indian. So I've accepted a lot of British things.
Yeah.
I've accepted their culture quite a lot. But at the same time, there's certain there is a part of me which has not forgotten the Indian culture, which still has taken it. And there's a part of me which loves the Filipino happiness, you know, the kind of light energy which I always love. And so, but I think this journey has kind of made me realize a very important thing, that people are the same everywhere. And I think if I wouldn't have come here, I wouldn't have realized it. Because I had a different picture when I would hear about England or, you know, other countries. I had a different picture that the people might be different, you know, which is true. The way they speak is different. Like I said, the mindset is different, but they're human beings at the end of the day. So it just makes me feel like I just feel like calling myself a human being.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we're all human beings.
Yeah, which is beautiful. I think that's one thing which I really enjoyed interacting with people over here. Because it just took me out of a mindset that, no, you're not different. You're just like, you know, like all of us. Like, our pain is the same. When we go through heartbreak, it's the same. When we fall in love, it's the same. If someone defeats us or deceives us, it's the same emotion. So it's just the same. It's just the way we express ourselves, it's in different words.
Yeah. And I think once you start this mindset of seeing people differently, is the foundation of like not the best kind of mindset. Like, there's a lot of like bad things that could happen if you build on this mindset of seeing people too differently from one another. Interestingly enough, so you also have some kind of side hustle that I think is also quite interesting and important to talk about. Maybe you could explain to us your side hustle.
So I've always been very spiritual. And it's not the fact that I'm from India. Many people say that you're from India. That's so spiritual. But no, I guess I've always been that way. And I've been blessed that, yes, a majority of my life I did spend in India, which helped me to understand it better. And coming to England as well has developed it much more further. So I think I've been in this really strong places, which has helped me quite a lot in that. So I've been doing tarot card readings for the past 15 years. And that, again, is one of my side hustle passion, which I really love. Now, one thing I noticed in most of my tarot readings is most of the people coming to me were those who have experienced a heartbreak or who are in separation from their loved ones or lovers. And this is a very common thing which I noticed in a lot of my readings or a lot of the people who used to come in as clients. And keeping that in mind, I do have a healing effect, as you can see from my voice.
It's yes. Quite healing. It's quite calming.
So that's when I decided to venture into relationship coaching, and where I help women to help them heal their broken hearts so they can again start living in the present and having a purpose to live again. Because a lot of them were women who were kind of stuck in their past or in just so much pain where they were not able to overcome it and start living again.
Yeah. Do you sometimes get clients who are men for like heartbreak?
Yes, I do. Yeah. But that's a small majority.
Yeah.
I would say like 2-3%.
I think a lot of men are not so open about their emotions. They're not so open about talking about it with other people.
Yeah. If the men as well, they've come in, they've mostly been really young, like, you know, in their early 20s or something, or less than that, because they don't know how to handle it.
I remember my first heartbreak at 17. It was a mess.
Exactly. So they're mostly those type of men. But you're right. It's mostly women who like to work on it. They try to heal it. But men, I think they just like put a plaster on it and think it's done and just try moving on. Doesn't mean they've overcome it, but they try it.
And do you think this experience of yours, you know, growing up in two different places, well, three different places, living three lives, so to say, put you in a position to give more guidance to other people?
Completely. Because, like I said, that's what it's shown me, where we all are one in a way. And like I said, we all go through the same emotions. So I don't look at you as a Filipino. I look at you for who you are and I connect with your emotion. So yes, seeing people in different lives, understanding whether you're rich or poor, or, you know, whatever your skin color is, anything, doesn't matter. So yeah, I think that really, really helped me quite a lot. And the other part, I think I travel quite a lot as well. And traveling is as much fun as it is. It also expands your horizon at so much level. You just see different, you meet different people. You just see the beauty in everything. And again, you realize that, you know, when you go to the most beautiful country, right? If you keep seeing that beauty again and again and again, it doesn't look beautiful anymore. It just looks like another piece of art, you know? So that's how kind of it is. So for me, it's like, it just feels like, oh, okay, I'm going out for an experience. But that person who's living there, they don't look at a beauty the way I look at it. So it just made me, you know, see different things from different perspectives. So, yeah.
Honestly, I think traveling is one of like the best educations you can get as a younger person. Even if you're older, like every time I travel, I learn something new. Maybe it's about, you know, a new culture. It's about other people, or maybe it's about myself, or it's about history. And I mean, I've also done a lot of traveling, obviously pre-corona. I love it. And I set aside an amount of money every year to make sure that, you know, I get to see a different part of the world. I get to see a new part of the world. I get to experience something different. And I've been doing this ever since I finished my university and I started working. Like, it would be my goal. When I was working in the Philippines, I'd travel maybe 4 times in a year, but very short trips. I'd go to maybe other places in Asia or other parts of the Philippines that I've never visited. But that would be like at least 1 quarter. I'm looking forward to something new.
I have to say, one of my best experiences has been in the Philippines, in all those islands. It is so, the water is so, so, so beautiful. It's so underrated. And I must say, whoever is hearing, everyone should go to the Philippines and experience it. I've been like an annual visitor of this now since the past 4 years. It's so beautiful.
This is what I tell people. So obviously, like in Europe, you have your own kind of places that are famous for like beaches and islands and whatever. You have Greece, you have Spain, you have the south of Italy.
Croatia.
To some people, in like Northern Europe, like here in Germany or the Netherlands, you have like the North Sea. Mm-hmm. You know, like I've seen some of it, and you just can't compare. Like, it's really like worlds apart. When people tell you, oh, the best beach I've been to is in Mallorca, I'm like, no, man. Like, you have to like hop on a plane, come to the Philippines.
Hands down, it's Philippines, I would say. Water is so warm.
Yeah, you can't compare.
No.
The sand is super white. The water is very clear.
It's and, so like, just raw, the quality, right? Like, it's right? Still, like, untouched.
And there's not like a million tourists on the beach. No. Okay, maybe if you go to like specific parts of the Philippines, maybe. But this is not like the story of the whole Philippines. No. We have like 7,000 islands, and a lot of them is really underappreciated.
Exactly. So yeah. The moment you went and appreciated it, you're like, that's it. Annually, we just go there every year, diving. It's beautiful.
So I'm starting to miss the Philippines now that we're talking about my home country a lot. What's like the thing that you like about the Philippines so much? Like besides obviously the people, which you already mentioned, and the beaches.
The beaches, yeah. you know, when I was in the Philippines, we were most I was in the Manila, and mm-hmm. which is the capital, right? So that's the only place I was, which is busy, and that said, I really didn't get the opportunity to visit the island. So I did not know there was another beautiful side to it. And it's only like I said, 4 years back when I did go and see the beauty and I appreciated it. I'm like, how come I didn't know about this before? But yeah, anyway, types of people in the food.
Indian food is hard to beat. Huh?
It is. Yeah. The thing is though, the Philippines food is one thing. You need to have a palate for it. I don't think everyone is going to appreciate it, though. If you have tasted it once and you like it, you will. I don't think everyone would appreciate it, like the spaghetti over there from Jollibee, which has a sweet touch to it. So many people would not appreciate a spaghetti being a little bit sweet.
I wouldn't say little bit. It's very sweet and it has hot dogs in them. So for a lot of people who are listening to this, who have never heard of Jollibee spaghetti, it's a thing in the Philippines. And I think if you live in the UK, I think there's a Jollibee now in the UK.
Is it?
And there's a Jollibee in Italy. I don't know if there's Singapore, one in Spain. Yeah, and other in a lot in the US and Canada. Jollibee's popping up everywhere. But so we have this famous fast food restaurant that's like our local version of McDonald's, but not really, because we serve a lot of meals with rice. But we have our own spaghetti, which we are very, very proud of. And I don't know how, you know, our Jollibee spaghetti will compete with the spaghetti in Italy, because we have a Jollibee in Rome and in Milan, I think. So that would be interesting to actually compare, you know.
I think the kids would love it.
Yeah, I think so too.
But no, so I guess that's the thing, because I loved it as a kid. So when I grew up and tried it again, I'm like, oh my God, I still love it. But it's the fast food which I miss. Because that same food, you don't get it anywhere else.
True, of course.
Like that.
Who's going to put sweet spaghetti with hot dogs, right?
Oh, just Philippines.
Just Philippines, right?
Oh, God.
I have a bonus question for you. This would be an interesting question. If you could combine your favorite stuff from the Philippines, from India, and the UK, and like combine it into like, because you live three lives, if you could combine the best stuff from each of your lives into one life, what would that life look like? Sorry, it's a tough question.
Oh, very tough question. So the best thing from all the three countries then? Oh, how would it look like? Yeah, got it. I think a developed, clean country of England.
Okay.
Okay. With happy people all the time from Philippines.
Okay.
And festivals every month.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, no, I was saying no doubt though, like England here is really, really developed. It just makes life much easier with, you know, you don't need to wait in the queue. You can just get things done in a more efficient way.
Yeah, I think that's the same here in Germany. Like everything just runs, everything functions as it's supposed to. And, you know, in the Philippines and from what I've experienced in India, that's not really the case every time.
Too chaotic.
It's It's chaotic, but you know, sometimes there's, you love it. Sometimes I miss the chaos. I miss that it's so unpredictable.
I miss the noise.
I miss the noise as well.
Yeah.
I don't miss the pollution though, but the noise is a bit, it's okay.
That's right.
Sounds once in a while. Yeah, so Monica, maybe you can, you know, for people who are interested in your services, maybe you can tell them how they could actually get in touch with you. Or
yeah. So if you are interested in my service, if you feel you have experienced a heartbreak and really need support in healing it, which is really important so that you can live your life in a more efficient way and don't waste it, I would say it's so precious. And you can live multiple lives like me. So you can contact me on my Instagram, which is monica.whisperthemystery. The link will be mentioned below. And I'll also put in a Calendly link. So if you want to book a free 30 minutes discovery session, you're more than welcome.
So Monica, I don't know if I have any more questions for you, but it was a really, really fun time.
I loved answering all your questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Pop Your Cultural Cherry. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast streaming platforms. To be updated with our latest episodes, don't forget to give us a like and a follow on our Facebook page and our Instagram account.